Yeah, and he's saying that, like, this is how Tyra Banks got it. This is how Shawnee O'Neal got her own TV show. And I, like, really believed that, like, I had no other option. Like, this is what I had to do, or I would not be able to work.
All right, Tiffany.
Hi.
Tiffany, where'd you grow up? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Livingston, New Jersey. It's like a small suburban town in New Jersey.
And you came out to Los Angeles when?
March 2018.
What did you want to do out here?
I actually had a lot of reasons that I wanted to come to LA. I love the lifestyle out here, and there's a lot of opportunity out here. So,
And you, what kind of industries did you want to work in?
entertainment. Yeah, I'm in entertainment.
What part of entertainment?
I model and I act and social media content creation.
Okay. And
I'm also a published author.
you are.
Yes.
What was your book on?
It's a fictional romance novel. It's called Falling in Love with a
Okay.
Sociopath.
That's a whole nother interview, I think. You ran into some interesting characters a few years ago, right? After you
Yes,
got to Los Angeles?
for sure. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So I first met the casting director, KP 2020, and he booked
Who
me.
also was mentioned in a previous video I did with a girl named Ariel Lindsay.
Yes, like for drugging and raping
Yeah,
girls.
he roofied her and raped her.
Yeah. So he booked me for some stuff. And I never got paid for it, so then I just blocked him. And then my Instagram got hacked after like I went viral. So everybody that I blocked, like kinda I saw again on social media. So I saw that he was casting for a pool party. Like so I'd be like an atmosphere model at this pool party. It was for Trinidad James. I got it. And he paid me this time.
So you decided to work for him a second time after he didn't pay you the first time?
I think I forgot. Because so I met him in 2020 and this was in 2024. So I forgot. And yeah. So then everything seemed to be going well. Like he paid me for the pool party and then I went to his screening for a movie that he created. And then he's just like saying, he's like propositioning me. Basically, just like I have to have sex with him if I want to work in entertainment and stuff like that. And so
And
he's like,
what did you tell him when you proposed this?
when he first asked me in 2020, he offered me $6,000 to have sex with him. And I said, no. I said, I don't do that. And I have a boyfriend. And so then I blocked him in 2020. And then in 2025, when he was saying this, no, 2024, when he was saying this, he was saying the same stuff, but he wasn't offering me money. He was like, oh no, I'm bigger than that. I don't have to do that anymore. You should just fuck with me because I have all these connections and all this stuff. So, I just ended up like just ignoring it, like, so that's why that didn't go anywhere. But he introduced me that short time span that I did work with him. He introduced me to Bentley Kyle Evans, who is a writer and producer for like The Martin Show, The Jamie Foxx Show, A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. So, then Bentley slid in my DM after I was introduced to him on set of his studio, Harvest Studio. I met him and his wife, and KP, this casting director, told me that like he was introducing me to Bentley because he's pitching a show for me. So when Bentley DM'd me. He was like, yeah, let's meet at... Well, first he booked me for like a Santa Claus, like Mrs. Claus event for his friend that works at Disney. So I went there. I met, her name was like Mary Gold or something. And so I had no reason to not believe that he was like legit because he's old, he's married. Like, I just like ignored KP and just was like, whatever. So then when Bentley invited me to Gravitas for like this business meeting, at the business meeting, he propositions me, but he's like, this is how entertainment works, and it's all about relationships. It's all about nepotism. My daughter is the writer for the Proud Family, so you should just stick around. I'll spoil you. And then he's like, you're not going to let me spoil you. And then I was like, why not? And then he just didn't say anything. So then he's like, I have to give you homework to make sure you can follow direction. And, like, the homework is, like, all this, like, sex shows and like affairs, like movies about like affairs where like the mistress gets murdered for speaking up. Have you ever seen Match Point?
I've not.
Yeah, it's with Scarlett Johansson, and basically like he kills her because she got pregnant and they were having an affair and he got away with it. And then he wanted me to watch Sex Life on Netflix. It's about affair. Yeah, I haven't seen, I didn't watch any of these shows either, like you, because I don't know. It's just about like an affair and like they have all this sex, and it was just very like, it was like he was like coming on very strong, but also like threatening me, and it was confusing. So,
and telling you that this is how the industry works?
Yeah, he was like, this is how entertainment works. You know, and I mean, I had no reason to not believe him. He's worked with Netflix. Like, Martin is still a show that, like, is ran on Netflix now. Like, you know what I mean? So I really just, like, I believed. I, like, fell for the exploitation. So after that Gravitas meeting, he's, like, calling me every single day, texting me, liking all my pictures on social media. Like, it's a lot of, like, pressure. So he's like, I'm sending him my scripts and stuff like that because he's like, I want to help you. He, like, offers mentorship. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you a superstar. And he's, like, reading my scripts, and I'm asking him for advice on, like, other projects that I'm working on with other people that I'm like, is this right? Is this okay? And so then January 2025, he's going to Las Vegas for the CES convention. And the CES convention is, like, for entertainment and stuff like that. So he's like, yeah, come to this convention. I'm going to teach you everything because I'm basically like his protege is what he's telling me. So then he flies me to Vegas to this convention, and that's like the first like sexual encounter. And then after that, we were having like business meetings every week, going over my scripts and stuff. And then we would have sex at the business meetings at Gravitas. Like, I don't know if you've been to Gravitas in Beverly Hills. They have like booths that you can like close off, and like they're just very private. So as time progresses, he just wants more. He wants more. He wants more. At first, he's like, it starts with like nude pictures. He needs nude pictures.
You're going to all these business meetings. Are you getting paid?
He was giving me money. Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, he needs nude pictures of me to make him feel special. And then, you know, he needs the sex, and then he wants more sex, and he like needs sex all the time. And he's like love bombing me.
Last year, the Palisades fire tore through Los Angeles. Most people saw that story. What fewer people saw is that 2026 is shaping up to be the worst wildfire year on record globally. The total area burned worldwide is already more than 20% higher than any year since 2012. That story is out there. It's just being told differently depending on where you look. Left-leaning outlets are focused on the U.S. response, what the government is doing, and who's affected locally. Right-leaning outlets are covering the global scale, the scope, the numbers, what's happening in other countries. It's the same crisis, but with two completely different lenses. Neither version is lying, but if you're only reading sources on one side, you're only getting half the picture. That's something I think a lot about doing what I do. The people I sit down with, their stories get filtered the same way, shaped by who's telling it and who they're telling it to. That's why I use Ground News. It's an app that shows you how any story is being covered across the political spectrum, side by side. You can see each outlet's bias, how reliable they are, and who owns them. You can actually compare instead of just getting handed one version of the news. Check it out at ground.news/SWU. You'll get 40% off their Vantage plan. And by subscribing or gifting it, you're directly supporting this channel too. That's ground.news/SWU. Now back to the video.
So like the first time in Vegas, he like told me that he loved me. And I was like, because I was like, it was just like you're married, you know? So it was, I don't know. It was, the whole thing was very confusing. And looking back on it, I'm like, okay, this was all like grooming. It's all like a grooming tactic. And that's why like I was confused. And then.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
32. So you're old enough to recognize some BS when you see it?
I guess. I mean, now at 32, this was like a few years ago. Now at 32, I definitely feel like it opened my eyes to BS for sure.
Yeah.
Even more.
And so he's also dangling something that you want very much too.
Yeah. And he's saying that like, this is how Tyra Banks got it. This is how Shawnee O'Neal got her own TV show. And I like really believed that like I had no other option. Like, this is what I had to do or I would not be able to work. And then I already was like doing movies that like are supposed to be coming out. And I'm like, this guy's going to blacklist me if I don't. And that's what I imagine the threats are for. Like, you know, that's what I figured at the time. Yeah. So then he wants to meet my family and, you know, he's telling me he loves me and all this stuff. And then he's talking about leaving his wife for me. And he's like, you know, like if I give my wife half, I'd be down bad financially and stuff like this. And I felt so, by that time, I felt so trapped because I really didn't want a relationship. I just like am focused on my career and I just want to work. But I felt like I had to. And like I blocked him on Instagram. So then he came over my house and he was like, why did you block me? And then I was just like, I think I like made up something or I didn't answer or something. And he was like, you can't block me because I might have a role for you. So by the end of the situation, I just felt very trapped. Like I felt like I had to be committed to this and I didn't want to be. So then I break up with him and he's like, yeah, I'm still gonna help you with your career, blah, blah, blah. But he really doesn't. He just keeps like asking me for sex instead. And, so then by June, that's when I just felt so exploited. So I spoke out and I was like texting him and like making fun of him, like for cheating on his wife, because I felt exploited And I mean, I know sex doesn't matter to some people, but I don't like feeling invaded that way. Like someone just got over on me and like, you know? And so yeah, I'm texting him, like saying mean stuff to him, making fun of him and his like fake marriage or whatever. And then I speak out and I write blogs and it goes on OK Magazine. And so then he gets super mad and he starts threatening me. And he hires the PI to stalk me. And the PI is like calling me over and over. And he's like, this is going to ruin your career. Bentley's going to ruin your career. And then he's like, oh, well, I'm watching everyone you date and I'm going to tell everybody and all this stuff. And I'm just like, well, I'm a single young woman. I'm allowed to date. So I don't know where the threat in that is. But, I just didn't care because I felt like I already had complied out of fear. So at this point, I was like, fuck this. Like, I never want this to happen to me again. And I never want him to come back. And I think, like, what really led me to speaking out was, like, I didn't want him to come back. Because I knew he was going to, because he would always be like, oh, well, if I have a role, I'll hit you up again. And then he was like, because after I was blocking him, I think he kind of could sense that I really couldn't keep up with this. So then he was like, yeah, well, if I see you again out, then, you know, then we could have sex again. Like, he just, and I just felt really trapped. And I felt like the only way to get out was to speak up. And I think it was also like, so like, I pray a lot. Like, I pray every morning. I start my day with prayer. And like, I kept being led back to John, the truth shall set you free. So I was like, I have to speak up.
And when you say speak up, what does that mean?
Like, I posted on my Instagram that, like, we had a relationship or he was having an affair on his wife. And then I wrote a blog about it. And then, you know, the magazines picked it up. So then he, like, took me to court because he wants to silence me. So I filed an anti-slap against him so I can continue to speak about my story. And I won, but he also won, like, where I can't contact him. So, yeah. So I just got the check for the legal fees for that, and he had to award me $10,000 for my legal fees. Yeah.
This was all in the course of how long? A year, roughly?
We met in 2024, November 2024, and I just got that check like 2 days ago. So it's like a lifelong span kind of, because even as time progresses, like I met Ariel and then, you know, we found out that like the casting director and they all do this, like they gather around and like just kind of plot on women on the industry and like prey on them sexually. And I met Ariel in May of this year. So it's 2026. So yeah, it's like 2024, 2025, 2026. And then like, there's still like I have an active California Rights Department investigation against Bentley, Kyle Evans, and Harvest Studios. Because, you know, he was offering me work and he was saying that he was going to produce the TV show that I wrote. So there's like rights that are supposed to protect me for quid pro quo coercion and retaliation and promissory estoppel and all this stuff. And another reason why I wanted to speak out is because like I literally didn't even know about all of these rights. Because there's so many people that, like, we just live in a rape culture where it's like, a guy is allowed, like, people just feel like he's allowed to, you know, ruin my career if I don't have sex with him. And that's what makes you feel like you have to comply, because it's like, you know, no one else is going to pay my bills. No one cares. All they care about is having sex with me. So you're just like, your back is against the wall and you have to comply and you really don't want to. You know what I mean?
Do you have friends in the doing similar kind of work or trying to get similar kind of work?
Yeah, I have friends that are like influencers and reality stars, because I've done reality TV.
When you speak with those friends, do you ever talk about the industry, about how this kind of stuff goes down?
I spoke with one reality star, but I think that she just was more sexually fluid than I was, because she was just like, yeah, it's just, it just seems like everyone is just like, yeah, this is just how it is. So then you're like, you feel forced, like, I need to pay bills, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would just love to hear what the general consensus is amongst a bigger group of people.
Yeah, I mean, when I spoke about, like, I've been speaking about it openly on my social media. And when I talk to men about it, they're just like, oh, yeah, well, that's how entertainment is. And that's just how, like, they just make it seem like, yeah, this is what it is. Like, people in the industry, like, people that have hired me before, they're just like, yeah, you have to do that. And when I contacted Hollywood Commission, like, they have, like, an ombuds, like, call center where you can, like, report this type of stuff and, like, ask for, like, advice and stuff. They say, like, oh, no, it's not supposed to be that way, but it's not. It's not supposed to, but it is. You know what I mean? And then that's why, like, these groomers, they don't want you to speak about that. Like, you know, like, he very much didn't want me to talk about the affair. But he just made it seem like he didn't want it to come out because of his wife. You know what I mean? And his family. But yeah, he was just like, yeah, people in entertainment, they just expect it to be that way. And then when I spoke to his personal assistant, like, after I spoke out on Instagram, she saw the post and she was like, I believe you. And then she's like, yeah, like, I can't go against Bentley because he will ruin my career. And he was like, she was like, yeah, like, I always imagine that he does this all the time. Like, I always had a feeling. And, yeah, I mean, it just seems like you can't escape it. Like, you're gonna just have to comply.
It's a tough career for a young woman.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah, and it's like the whole point of being independent and having my own career is so I don't have to deal with a guy, like, financially abusing me. You know what I mean? Like, if that was the case, I could have just dated some rich guy and, like, well, he could
you
just...
You make it sound like that's the ticket to get in.
Yeah, they're like, they just, like, make, like, they say that I have to. Like, there's no other way. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just felt really trapped.
Do you feel like that is the case in your industry?
I don't know.
You still don't know.
I still don't know, because I'm like, well, what's the truth? And, like, what are people just, like, covering up? And, like, you know, I've, like, contacted, like, I'm in partnership with, like, Hire Survivors Hollywood. And that's, like, a nonprofit for survivors of sexual violence in entertainment. And that was created by Sarah Ann Massey, who's a Harvey Weinstein survivor. So, I mean, like, you know, people just condone the sexual violence because it's someone in the position of power.
Are there a lot of victims in that, the organization you just mentioned?
I think so. I mean, Harvey Weinstein, he's in jail for rape right now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just wondering how many women especially are in that group.
I think there's a lot. Yeah. I think there was like over 100 women that came out, and like women that are like, you know, successful in entertainment that are like, they had experiences with Harvey Weinstein, just like either sexually abusing them or retaliating if you don't comply. Like, there's always like the fear of like, you know, just like you have to provide for yourself, you know? So it's like, well, what if I can't work? You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, because I know that I don't want a relationship right now in my life. So I really don't want to be forced into a relationship, like just to work. And I don't know, because I am who I am. Like, I'm a creator and I'm like a performer, and that's what I like to do. So.
So what do you do now that
I still model, I still act, I still do social media content creation. You know, I still have like partnerships on social media. I just filmed a movie last week. It was called Indictment, and I play Lil Lynx. So like, I still am doing what I'm doing, but I mean, the show that he was supposed to produce obviously didn't go through, which would probably like give me more financial independence. And I don't, like, of course guys don't really want that, because like you said, like, then they won't be able to, you know, like, they wouldn't be even in my presence, because you know
they have no chance of controlling you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you see a future in this career?
I do. I think that I just have to work more like I'm in charge. I can't.
And social media maybe gives you the opportunity to do that.
Yes, it does.
More than working with, you know, big networks and things like that.
Yeah, because like even with networking, it's like, oh, just another guy's hitting on me. It's like, a lot of people can't even handle being around an attractive female, which is surprising, because you're like, well, this is LA, isn't this is where we all are. I don't know. But I mean, I feel like going through this and openly speaking about it has brought like more depth to my brand. Whereas like now I can advocate for women, and I always wanted to do something for women, like in my art performance career. So I feel like being a Me Too advocate, I'm like a safe space for women. I've also advocated for other women that have gone through this situation, and they have like, they need a character witness and stuff like that. And I feel like it's more aligned to like my destiny and my purpose, you know, because I'm a pretty girl. So people are always going to cast me for like pretty girl roles and like kind of ditzy and like, you know, so being a Me Too advocate shows my true authentic self. It's not just this like persona that people try to project onto me. I'm beautiful, but I also know that I'm a human. I have rights. I have opinion. And, you know, no one should be sexually violated at all. Like, just because they're beautiful or just because you have leverage over their career, that's not right. And I hope that I can, like, change the world a little bit more. Because, like, we have those laws to protect us, but it's still going on. You know what I mean? And yeah, I mean, that's really where I see myself going. Like, more women-empowered stuff, like women-owned films, women-empowered films, and just creating my own films. Because, you know, if I work with a guy, he'll just sexually harass me. You know what I mean? He's going to be mad because I don't want him.
Has this always been a problem, even before you got into this industry?
Were
guys kind of want one thing from you?
No. I've had relationships, you know. I don't know. It's like maybe like fame makes men more like violent or something. Because, no, guys are always violent. No, I feel like guys always wanted to date me, of course, because I'm beautiful. But it was never like, I just feel like the violent part is like not right. You know what I mean? Like, you could want to date me, but you shouldn't like force yourself onto me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, guys always want to date me. A lot of my career is like dating shows. Like, everybody wants to date Tiffany.
Is it going to be difficult for you to age out? Which will happen slowly.
But
it'll happen. Happens to everyone.
I think that, like, no, I don't think so. I think that beautiful women can stay beautiful their whole life, you know, like.
Absolutely.
Halle Berry is still beautiful, and Sofia Vergara.
There's a lot of very attractive.
So many beautiful women. So, I mean.
Even much older than them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not chasing validation. I'm comfortable with myself and with my look and with my femininity and with my beauty. But, like, there shouldn't be, like, violence. Violence is wrong no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. It just seems like the industry aims at these young, young girls, and they want one thing from them, and they're going to use every bit of their power to get what they want.
Yeah, and that's scary. That's super scary. But I feel like...
And maybe social media gives everyone an opportunity to do things where there's none of that bullshit.
Yeah. It's your own platform to be able to create. And, you know, you don't have to deal with, like, creepy gatekeepers that, like, are tired of having sex with their wife, so they take it out on you. You know what I mean?
This is probably why the networks are fading away and things like YouTube are thriving.
Yeah, TikTok.
Instagram, all that stuff. Yeah.
Instagram. Like, I've gone viral on social media, on every platform, on TikTok, Instagram, Threads. I like to be able to create my own art. You know what I mean? But, like, I've definitely been casted for a lot of stuff. And for the most part, people are, like, professional. There's really, like, just those creepy guys, but they usually know each other. Like, it's usually, like...
A club.
They gather, yeah, and, like, prey on women. But, like, I've modeled and done all that, like, full-time and just, like, been casted by friends and, like, people have been professional. Like, I've had good experiences. You know what I mean? So that's why it's like, I'm like, yeah, that guy's a creep and he has his creep friends, but I love what I do and I've had great experiences being casted.
It's got to be tough for some of these guys because a lot of them they don't have the personality or they don't have the charm to attract a woman like yourself. So they're going to use... Their position at whatever company they work at to use that to get
as leverage
what they want.
Yeah. And that's abuse of power.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's not my fault.
It would be nice if women wised up to that.
Like, what do you mean?
It would just be great for women if they knew that was the game. Like videos like this, you might inform a lot of women who are going to come to Hollywood trying to make it, and they're going to realize the more knowledge, the more information like this gets out, the more knowledge women will have.
That's the point.
To protect themselves.
Exactly. That's the point, for sure.
That's probably why you're doing this.
Yeah. Because I want it to stop. And that'll happen with women knowing their rights. And also, like, a creepy predator is not going to come try to prey on me anymore. You know what I mean? Because I'm on a...
Well, the more that there are people on social media making videos like this one or the one I did with Ariel, the fewer of these guys are going to do pull their shenanigans, because they're going to... There's a risk of them getting exposed.
Exactly. And I think that's what's so beautiful about today's day and age. Like, a lot of people hate social media, and I don't understand it, because social media, I think everything is what you make it. Like, if you, social media is a great way to connect with people, speak your truth, express everything that you need to express. If you love to, like, create art, you can just put it on your social media, and whoever needs to see it will see it. You know what I mean? Or, but if it's just for you, like, as a human being, like, sometimes you just need to create, like, just for yourself. So I love social media, and I love that social media just shines the light on the truth. You know what I mean? Like, no fake facades.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of fake stories on social media,
too. Oh, no, for sure.
But there's also a great opportunity to
shine the light.
Shine the light on some crap that's going on that needs to be exposed.
I think that was, like, one of the things that, like, I kind of fell for that exploitation, is because, like, his persona is, like, you know, he's, like, double my age. He's, like, married. He, like, has his persona as, like, a trusting family guy, producer, like, family sitcoms. Like, you know, like, it's kind of trustworthy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to just, like...
And if there are a bunch of stories about certain people that were on social media, you look up their name and this is what pops up, and you, like, you'll know what's, you know what you're getting into.
Exactly. Like, if I knew that he was like that, I wouldn't have even went to Gravitas to that meeting. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, there's guys that, like, we know are predatorial, that I just, like, don't even, like, I'm not gonna, like, hang out with Chris Brown or, like, Trey Songz or, you know, like, those guys that, like, they have a bad rep, so you expect it from them, you know?
Yeah, it's tough for a young woman.
Yeah.
Even outside of the...
Industry, yeah.
It's hard in life.
Just being, like, being a woman is, like, the most powerful but also vulnerable thing in the world, because, like, it's like, woman, you know, we have all this power, but the wrong person can, like, exploit that or attack that. Like, a misogynist, I feel like misogyny stems from, you hate a woman because she's so powerful, so you, like, try to bring her down. You rape her, you drug her, you try to cut off her financial sources. You know what I mean? Because she's this beautiful, glowing woman, like, you know, like, to just be so, like, fresh-faced and, like, I'm living in L.A. and I'm living my dreams and, like, I'm on TV shows and, like, I'm modeling and I'm accomplishing, like, my childhood dreams. Like, it's so touching and, like, fulfilling. And then you kind of just meet this creepy predator that's like, oh, no, you're doing all that? You owe me because of that. You know what I mean? It's like this creepy entitlement. Like, I would never empathize with Bentley or, like, KP or any of those type of guys.
What attracted you to this industry in the first place?
I've always loved, like, entertainment. Like, I love reading. I love TV.
What was your childhood like?
I come from a two-family home. My parents are still married. I'm the eldest of five.
A two-parent home?
Yeah. They're still married. And I have, like, four brothers, one sister. And I was the eldest. Like, I'm from the suburbs. So, like, we were, like, a very close-knit family.
That's great.
And we hung out a lot and stuff. And like, you know, we enjoy entertainment. Like, we went to the movies together and we just watched TV, and like, it kind of is like this, you can bond over music and watching TV together.
So your morals maybe are in the right place.
I think so.
Because of how you grew up.
I think so.
Whereas a lot of women would probably take advantage of opportunities that these guys are.
I think that's the putting difference. In front of them. I think that's like the misalignment, because it's like some people see it as an opportunity, and I'm just like, I don't like it. And I think it's because of how I was raised.
You're a good girl in a.
In a bad place.
In a bad place.
Yeah. But I don't think. Am I naive to think that like all entertainment isn't like that?
I don't know. You'll never know the answer to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll never know the answer to that, I think.
Yeah.
It takes luck. You know, you meet the right person, you get the right opportunity, timing, your talent, of course, is important, your perseverance, all that stuff, but it's like a minefield too.
Mm-hmm. So, like, that means I probably had bad luck because I met
You had some bad luck, for sure. There's probably opportunities for good luck, too.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are ethical and have their heads and hearts in the right place.
Yeah.
Even in that industry.
I hope. Because I feel like entertainment is so healing a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, social media is turning that industry on its head anyway, so.
Yes.
So it's all going to fall apart.
Get rid of those, like, creepy gatekeepers, and it's a new day and age where we can create our own success.
You can do it yourself. You find some other young women or guys that are not gonna, hopefully, not do things like that, and you can do something that's pure.
Yeah, that feels good, and also provides in a way that like, you're safe. Like, you know, we all need money. I don't like when people like kind of make it seem like, oh, well, you don't need money or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we all need money. We need rent.
Well, it's a very strange time right now where, like, maybe in the industry you're talking, you know, you were trying to break into, money doesn't seem to really flow as well as it used to.
Okay.
Or isn't as available as it once was. And now social media is getting bigger and stronger every week, every month.
Yeah.
But the money there isn't quite as robust as it could have, you know, just, I think it'll all work itself out in time, but life is always tough.
Is it?
It's tough to make a buck.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. until it starts raining really hard, and then it comes too easily. But
when it rains, it pours.
When it rains, it pours, but until, you're trying to make it rain is what you're trying to do.
I guess it's like just the breakthrough, probably. I'm basically manifesting a breakthrough.
Yeah. Well, you're beautiful. You'll probably do great.
Thank you.
I wish you lots of luck. Hope you stay out of trouble.
I hope so, too.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Tiffany. Thank you.